come. Orders, singers, musicians to come. Not today is to justify me and answer what I am for, but you, a new brood, native, athletic, continental, greater than before known. Arouse, for you must justify me. I myself but write one or two indicative words for the future, but I advance a moment only to wheel and hurry back in the darkness. I am a man who, sauntering along without fully stopping, turns a casual look upon you and then averts his face, leaving it to you to prove and define it, expecting the main things from you.
Good evening. You've made it through the work week. You've made it to Friday night. You've made it through to the World Poetry Open Mic, the radio show that's run by crazy people for crazy people. And on my left-hand side, as he is all Fridays that we are here, he is Straight Jacket Michael Amade.
Hey, man. How you doing?
Doing good.
Yeah. Taya!
Do you think you could get me out of this thing?
Oh. Taya! What the hell is that? Taya!
Oh, okay. I feel like I've just walked into hostile territory. How's it
Taya!
Going? Hey, good evening. I'm happy to be here. I'm excited about this weekend and about the show tonight. I think this is going to be a really, really fun couple of days of poetry and music and all that. Yeah.
What show?
Posick Fest.
Oh, yeah. Seems I've heard something.
Yeah, you might have heard something about this show we've been putting on.
It's about time you figure this out.
Yeah. What? I might go there.
Do you not listen to our own commercials?
Yeah, do you not listen to the commercial you're in? Hey, you know what, man?
Don't I listen to the commercial I wrote?
Yeah. All we do is hand you some stuff and you say it.
Yeah. So, and on his left-hand side, he is the hairiest man in professional radio. He is the Half Squatch.
Good evening, I think.
Hiya! 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 Hiya!
All right, you're gonna be playing with that all night long, aren't you?
Oh hell yeah! You did it last week, and I was like, you know what? I'm cutting it out.
I think you say it. Oh, that's me.
Yeah.
Oh.
You did that last week, and I'm like, you know what? It's mine now.
I did something. I was like, wow, I sound remarkably similar to that. My powers of impersonation are getting better.
Yes, you're great at impersonating yourself. All right. Now, before we get too crazy, because, you know, we're excited about the show tomorrow, we do have some sponsors that are making this show possible. You know, the radio show we do every week. It's naturebox.com. If you want to live a healthy lifestyle, you want to be around and ride a lot, naturebox.com. Forget snacking from the convenience store. I even skipped that tonight. I didn't get my usual, you know, jerky and cookies that I normally get, because Nature Box takes care of us. You know, we've got Chipotle chickpeas that just light you up.
Cashews.
They light you up.
Well, Chipotle chickpeas, yes.
Like a jack-o'-lantern.
Yes.
Now, you know, actually, one of the things I was telling you is, you know, some people who know about the show, you know that I was a cancer survivor as a kid. Well, I still am, I guess. I had cancer as a kid.
Yes, and but you're still a survivor. Thank God.
I'm happy about that. But I get these letters from St. Jude, which is doing a follow-up on, you know, the effects of cancer treatment and everything as you get older. And it's always really depressing news, but you're happy you're getting it. And the thing I got today was, between siblings and survivors, there is over 100% more chance of death between the age of 40 and 45. If you are obese or you're smoking or whatever, if you're a survivor,
what are you
compared
saying?
To a sibling. No, compared to a sibling. And so when I looked at it, I was thinking, you know, it's one of those things where you have to pay attention to what you're putting in your body. You have to pay attention to what you're doing. If you pay attention to what you're eating, if you pay attention to how you treat yourself, you can live life on a higher level with more energy, feel better. It's not even about looking better. It's about feeling better. Looking better is a side effect.
Exactly.
And it's better energy and everything like that. And basically, I'm getting these letters directly from people who are saying, you really need to do this.
Yes.
We all know we really need to do it anyway, but this is something that, you know, is just a good reminder for me. And so Nature Box definitely fits in as part of that plan.
Exactly.
That's the kind of stuff I want to be snacking on, and I want to be, you know, taking with me when I teach, and, you know, and all of that. So I just wanted—I know it's kind of long-winded, but I wanted to make that point that, you know, we're all kind of in that condition, and those things will affect you no matter what.
And if you're going to do it, at least don't let your taste buds get bored. Try NatureBox.com. And of course, another way to live a long, healthy lifestyle is to get enough sleep. And how you can do that is Good Morning Snore Solution. Basically, it's an appliance you wear. It cuts out, reduces your risk of snoring, thus keeping you from waking yourself up like I do, or waking your wife up like I do.
And the other thing that's really awesome about the Good Morning Snore Solution is if you buy the deluxe model, it actually vibrates the bed at the same time. It's really cool.
How many quarters does that cost?
You know, as many as you got.
All right. And, of course, our third sponsor. If you want to learn more about the falsehoods of all the advertising we just did, you're going to want to check out knetbooks.com. You can get the book if you're in college, if you're in high school, if you're in your master's studies. It does not matter. They'll have the book. They send it to you. You use it. You send it back. You don't have to worry about selling it or absorbing all the cost because they will reuse it. It will be a better alternative than spending a lot of money on your schooling.
That's true. I think, I think, you know, education is never a waste. JT and I have this discussion ad nauseum. However, I do think that, you know, there's ways you can cut costs and make it not so prohibitive. And I think books is one of the great ways to do that. Kane has been working on that as a solution. And I really think what they're doing is great.
Awesome. So thank you guys for putting us on. We do poetry here. We want your poetry. We want it free of the F-bomb. We want it free of any hate speech. If you've got an advertisement you want to put on, put it in a poem.
Damn it.
And, of course, you're going to need a number to call. So we want five callers at 720-240-9766.
That's 720-240-9766.
Don't delay. Call today. Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice, we are getting ready for Posig Fest. And weird event of all weird events, we did not fill up that segment. So we're going to be going straight to the return engagement.
Way to drop the ball.
Yes.
Guys, ladies.
Dropping the balls like it's New Year's Eve.
Dropping the balls like we're 13.
Well, after these callers, we'll do a return engagement, and that way they can call back if they want.
Absolutely. Yes.
Oh,
absolutely.
All right. Yeah. Okay, good.
All right, sure. So we do have four people lined up right now. They're chomping at the bit to share their poetry. Someone we haven't heard in a while, and I'm really excited that they're back with us. Please welcome, calling from New Hampshire, she is Jay Lorian.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome back to our show. We've missed you.
Well, thank you. This piece is actually a retelling, which updates a piece by an 18th century poet named Robert Burns. It's called John Barleycorn.
Yeah.
It's a traditional harvest ballad, and appropriate as the wheel is about to turn again to autumn in the Northern Hemisphere, and I call this John Barleycorn a retelling.
All right.
John Barleycorn, of noble stock, with price upon his head. Three eastern kings for baser things all wanted Johnny dead. And so upon an early walk, they found where Johnny stood. They plowed him down into the ground and thought he'd stay for good. But springtime brought on warmer days and rain began to fall. Among the wheat, John found his feet and stood up straight and tall. Then summer had her sultry ways. John thickened and he grew. With crown of spears, he had no fears of enemies he knew. The chill of autumn, fair and blithe, brought ravages of age. John grew more frail, began to fail. His rivals grew enraged. They took a freshly sharpened scythe and swiftly cut him down. No common thief, a paratief, they brought him into town. They threw him down upon the floor and beat him with a club. They flipped him fair into the air and dropped him in a tub. Then to the brim with water for to make him sink or swim. They took him out and tossed him about, then pressed the life from him. Just a second. They cooked him on an open flame until a golden brown. The miller, too, had work to do. He ground and ground and ground. Old John would never be the same, though stronger than you'd think. Was much more fun when all was done, as stout and hearty drink. A jigger of audacity, a pint of courage, dear. Just lift your cup and drink him up. John Barleycorn is beer. That's it.
Very well done.
Thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
You have been so missed. You're going to call back for the return engagement, right?
I'm going to try.
Awesome. It's coming up right after this, so just hang in there with us.
Okay. If my computer will cooperate, I will definitely call back.
Beautiful. Thank you, Jay Lorian.
Thank you. Bye.
That was Jay Lorian on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio.
Ta-ya!
Oh, my God. I'm going to have to listen to that all night long.
Man, now I know what Jet Li must feel like.
You know, I was really mortified this week, guys. You know, you read about windmills and they mill oats and whatnot by using the wind.
Yes.
And then you weren't wheat mills, where it mills the wheat electronically.
Milf and wheat?
No, milling the wheat.
Milfing the wheat.
I was mortified because they were talking about puppy mills down in Missouri. And I'm like, that's got to be gruesome.
Wow.
I'm kidding.
Oh.
Sorry. All right, let's just go to another caller.
I just want to take a moment. Let's just take a moment and let everybody let that sink in, what he just said. You ready? Here we go. Oh, that's awful.
All right.
Okay, that was terrible, man.
Let's recover greatly by going to a great caller we've had for a long time. Please welcome Barbara.
I'm going to go to confession on your behalf.
Okay. Hi, guys. I didn't hear that.
So be glad. Be very, very glad.
But, I don't like the idea of jokes about puppy mills, so, you know.
Oh, well, you know, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to offend you.
No, that's
you
okay.
Anybody.
No,
you should be sorry. Every word you speak, every time you say the word puppy mill, another puppy mill shows up. That's what happens. It manifests.
You know, it's not like puppy mills.
It's not a good idea.
Law of attraction,
but,
man.
You know, not everybody. but I don't know what you said about them. So.
Oh, it was all condemning.
It was 100% class all the way. Wait till you hear the rebroadcast.
Yeah. We're all class.
I don't know. Maybe the puppy mill contingent found out and deleted it before I could hear it.
Well, actually, what's happening is Jay Todd is going to start running for president under the puppy mill party. And that's he's kind of getting things ready because he wants to take on Donald Trump at the next debate.
I figure all I need to do is put a puppy on my head and I'll have a better hairdo than him. All right. Barbara, you got poetry for us?
I do. I dug in into old poems that I don't think I read here. But stop me if I've read it, but I don't think so. This one's from 2011, so I'm not sure I read it. If I sound a little nasal, it's because of my Imaginarium experience. According to Amy, my friend, I have the con crud.
I know of con crud. I really do know of con crud. Yeah. Yep, you get sick because you're around all these weird people. Yeah.
I don't usually get sick, but I have like this virus on top of allergies, which means no antibiotics. So I'm just living on Sudafed and whatever.
Well, I was going to say something, Barbara, but I'm glad you cleared that up because now we can feel safe letting you continue on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to move away from the microphone.
I'm contagious only if I sneeze. So if
don't sneeze on the phone, Barbara. Right. Don't sneeze on the phone. I'm going to be really upset if I get sick over here. Give me some Lysol.
Purell.
All right. Okay. Time has come to infect us with your poetry, though.
This is called Wind. It's called Wind. Okay. I wanted to write a form poem about the wind, but the form stifled my words as if a noose were around my fingers, keeping them from tripping across the keys, creating them. And I realized with a deep-felt sigh, my muse does not like being locked in a form of any kind. But like breasts after a long day, must swing free to expand its essence. Sorry, I'm a 10-year-old boy. But like breasts after a long day, must swing free to expand its essence. The wind towel wraps around the brick space and ricochets toward the lonely expanse of water. Back and forth like a ghostly game of ping pong, the wind screams its eerie song. Ooh, ooh, ooh. And I imagine abandoned ships run aground with the trapped souls of the unfortunate victims yelling for release, bringing goosebumps all over my body, forcing me to hide beneath covers and stop up my ears to keep up the crazed sound of the wind.
Very well done.
Sorry, I got carried away in the middle of it, but I think it's...
That was a shocking admission that you're a 10-year-old boy.
And your voice is so different than we would expect.
Yes.
Now, you know, Barbara, if that's your real name, what I did say when you were reading the poem, I'm like, well, I don't know if she's sick, but she definitely is on Sudafed. No, I thought that was very good. Good job, Barbara. Good. Thank you.
Great job. I got to say, you did really well. I once did a 7-hour air shift on radio after being tear gassed by the Denver Police Department. You did fine.
Oh, no.
All right. I think we're going to have to hear a brief version of this story.
It's a great story. I actually got to see the after effect of
really?
Him. Yes.
Okay, okay. So this is a story you don't get to just drop and not say.
I think I should hang up for this one.
Okay. You're going to want to listen to this one, Barbara. It's going to be stunningly good radio content.
Yes.
I'm sure of it.
I'm totally.
Okay. Well, I'll talk to you guys on the return engagement.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Sounds good.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay, so in brief, what had happened is I was working downtown as a radio DJ in the overnights, and I was working in the ticketing industry for Ticketmaster as my day job. The Broncos won their second Super Bowl, and I had to walk through downtown while the riots were going on after their second Super Bowl victory to get to work.
Straight down 16th Street.
Straight down 16th Street Mall.
I see.
I got slammed against the building by Denver Police Department. I don't hold a grudge. They could not tell the rioters from the people that were just trying to commute. But then all of a sudden I hear gas, and I'm like looking around. I'm like, I didn't fart or anything. And next thing I hear, pink, and boom, tear gas everywhere.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm like, how am I going to do an air shift with my throat closing up like this? Well, I made it through. I was like, you're listening to 103. I sounded like Shark, actually. You're listening to 103.5 The Fox. And
you sound like a charmer.
Yes, probably. I did. So I get
Mickey Rourke is suddenly on the radio.
Shower. Everything starts getting better because I'd gotten the tear gas off of me. Until I went to go to work the next night and threw my jacket that I was wearing on without laundering it and realized it still had tear gas in it.
Yes, it did.
So I had to actually do two air shifts under the effects of tear gas.
Yeah, it was quite interesting to smell him.
Yes, it was horrible.
You're walking. Are you wearing... what is that scent?
Ode
oh, that's
to
tear
riot.
Gas. Ode to riot.
Yes.
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 That's awesome. I love it.
A hint of disorder is what I would call that perfume.
A hint of disorder with a dash of bad decisions.
Did Carmella... we had a new caller lined
up. We had a new caller lined
up. And she dropped... Tell you what, call back for the next segment. It's going to be coming up here shortly because we're down to our last caller for this segment. Please welcome a good friend of the show from Kentucky. He is Philip.
Howdy.
Hey, welcome.
No, thank you. I appreciate it. How are you, Jay Todd and Mr. Armidi?
I'm doing very well.
Good. It's a slow night, isn't it?
It is a slow night, but you know what? These are the comfy, cozy nights that keep us going for Posick Fest, that sort of thing. And really, it'll be good to get off the air early so we can get rested
up. Yeah, we can get some rest. Yeah, I got you. And is this tomorrow night when the event happens?
Tomorrow night. And let's see, you're on Eastern time, right?
Yes, sir.
So you're going to want to tune in about 6 o'clock to this very station. Just come in like you're coming to the radio show, and you'll get a plethora of music until like 1 in the morning.
Yeah, I mean, the event,
your time.
The event's going to go until probably about midnight, 1 a.m. your time.
All right.
But there'll be different poets and musicians. And if you go to posickfest.com, the list is up there of who's going to be performing.
Okay. Correct. And there's a couple of really phenomenal poets that are appearing late. I'm not very egotistical about my poetry, so I
sorry.
No,
sorry.
I serious. I do. I don't.
You seriously
I put myself
humble, guys.
mid card, but these two that are like headliners. Oh my goodness, you'll love their stuff.
All right.
Yeah, it's Seth, and then M.D. Friedman is the actual headline poet.
Okay, well, I'm not familiar with that individual's work, so I don't know. But I look forward to it.
We were trying to get Edgar Allan Poe, but he was a tough kid.
Right.
My science kit wasn't working so well, so we couldn't get here.
You know, and strangely enough, Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, the book, is actually not a good how-to. I'm just throwing that out there.
My necromancy spells aren't working either, I'm sorry, guys. My apologies.
Really? Yeah.
You wreck any serious mood whatsoever, right? You know?
I know. We can't do it. Lovecraft is no help at all.
And one last question. Are you playing music too, Michael?
Yes, I am. Not tonight. Not tonight. I'm going to do it tomorrow.
Tomorrow night,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, that's what I meant. Yeah, good. Good.
And then we've got tons of other musicians. We've got Larry Nix. We've got Brandon Mingo. We've got The Silence still headlining. We've got just a plethora. Brandon Bloom's going to be playing.
Brandon Bloom. Mingo. Well, see, these are a lot of, you know, there's a lot of great friends here. Larry Nix, I'm not too familiar with. His music's great.
His music's phenomenal.
We met him a while ago. He was awesome. But Mingo is one of the top ambient musicians in the world.
Oh, really?
He's great.
I usually say ambient. I don't know.
Ambient is more snooty. Ambient is more. It's synthesizers for the people by the people. ambient, you turn knobs and act like you're doing something important, you know.
Right. Well, I really love ambient or ambient music. Brian Eno and Aphex Twin are among my favorites. I don't know if you're familiar with
it. No, I'm absolutely familiar with it. And someday I'll talk about my experience in the ambient world, but I would compare Mingo a lot to Steve Roach, if you're familiar with him at all.
Okay, I do know Steve Roach, actually. Liquid Mind?
Uh-huh, yes. Exactly.
Okay, I'm familiar with all of those guys.
Well, wonderful, man.
You'll dig that.
I look forward to the music.
Well, sweet. We look forward to having you listen, and we'll be jumping on and broadcasting, and then the recording will be up after.
Okay, all right, marvelous. Well, then I'll just try to hop to it and resume my serious literary mood.
All right, we will become more somber for you.
More somber, that's right. Well, anyhow, here goes the title, and it's not a long one, so Ouroboros Painted in Chiaroscuro. And in case you didn't catch it the first time, that's Ouroboros Painted in Chiaroscuro. Here it goes. Listen as old men speak, their faces wrinkled as newsprint. Obituaries written petite on their few remaining tombstone teeth, even though they smile, having forgotten more than they've ever mourned. Oddities comfort me, cigarette smoke scented sweetly blue, on nicotine plumes hazily distant, and a carnival atmosphere mixed with wild animal dung, cotton candy, and sausage onions, where fresh minstrel red neon glows and turns Ferris wheels slow inside memories not my own. Grown steadfast in fictions spilled from my eyes and hands, attached to experiences and pins, scribbling a fiercely wild Roman aclef tribute disguised as an eye splintered into myriad pieces, irretrievable as a schizophrenic's identity caught in shattered mirrors. Weird mimesis of absences learned long ago in preschool and before, when a woman unknown loaned me some mitochondrial DNA, then walked away into my Oedipal fantasies. There goes Pinocchio past the brown house where he bent over a disarrayed bed as one who genuflects in prayer while anticipating the sacramental phallus eased into make-believe, where I'm strung out as a puppet whose pupils dilate with poppies vibrant as virgin blood. Ironic that I do not wish to become a real live boy, rather clouds billowed gray with lachrymose rain, evaporate into the sun because I will it done. So few words left compared to the vast parsec spaces innate to this empty cosmos. Enough though for epitaphs gouged deeply in proleptic stones for each one of my deaths. Dirges lilting light on the treble clef, high above with boy voices angelic, castrati that counterbalance the remains of a manly baritone requiem mass yet quilled. Seated anonymously on a bench, scarred with vandalized lovers' names, writ as if they were permanent, muttering drug-induced nonsense, windward west because no one listens, not even myself, a stranger unto I, whose coffee-stained canines are sharpened on the oldest fellow's side. And there it is, my friends.
Very well done, my friend.
Wow.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much. And I look forward to the return engagement, which will be very shortly.
As soon as we end with you and maybe a submission or...
We have submissions. Yeah, the return engagement is imminent.
It's impending.
Wonderful. Impending.
Well, thank you for having me again. I appreciate it, fellows.
No problem. Not a problem. Always glad to have you on the show. And again, I have to reiterate, I love your wording. I love your style.
Oh, yeah.
It is a breath of fresh air from the past coming back to haunt me. Thank you.
No. Well, thank you so much, Jay Todd. I really appreciate that. And thank you, too, Michael.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, sir.
All right. Sounds good.
Great. Ciao.
All right. See ya.
That was Philip on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio.
I think Philip helped me. Oh, nice. Dude, you did a flip.
Yeah.
I didn't even know you could do that.
Yeah.
So, I think Philip helped me write a song, man. Did you notice that?
I know. You went right into it.
It's like, bum, bum, bum. What was it? Bum, bum, bum. Oedipus and the mama's boys. Oedipus and the mama's boys. What do you think?
I think you have a hit.
You know what? I think you have a hit. I would have to agree. I think it's a number one.
It might be the patriotic hit of 2016. I could put out.
Oh, it's definitely a number two.
If I could get Toby Keith to do the song, I think that
would be really, really impressive.
I think, yeah.
Wow.
Okay, let's do a submission.
Yes, please.
Do you have something to save us from this weird path that we've gone down?
Well, you know what?
We go down this path every week.
You know, that's true. That is very true.
Why do you think it became a path? It's not wilderness does.
I feel kind of bad about I'm bad for my students in my music class because I find myself going to these same, not the same kinds of places, obviously. But like taking the song, the banana boat song and turning it into like a thing about the banana boat workers being killed by the United Fruit Company. And now I found out all the kids won't refuse to eat bananas because it's good.
Beauty.
Wow.
That's what happened this week.
Do you have a submission? Well done. You in fact have a submission on your computer for us.
I am just throwing this around. I don't even know. No, it's Melissa Andres is the name of the song. Or the
poet. Really?
Let me collect myself one moment. Okay, that doesn't work. Okay, here we go. This is called North Star by Melissa Andres. Everything happens for a reason. Our lives are all mapped out. But how do we arrive? What's the journey all about? There is no signage placed along the way. Yet we need direction to get us through the day. You are my shiny compass and my guiding light, beckoning unto me in the darkest night. You are my North Star, my south, east, and west. Now that I have found you, my heart and soul can rest. And that was by Melissa Andres. That's called North Star. That was a submission.
That's awesome.
That was a really good one, wasn't it? And I have a few more that I'm going to try to throw in, like intersperse into the return engagement here as well.
Yeah, you know, doesn't mean we can't do two return engagements, depending on how sparse the crowd is.
Well,
you know, we do have.
Oh, you're getting ambitious here.
Getting ambitious again.
Hey, we should do this every night.
Energy. We should do this every night. I just want you to know that. All right. So
10 nights a week.
Submission out of the way. Let's go ahead and go right back to the phone lines. It's opened up. If you've called before, you can call us again. If you're new to the show for the night, you can call again. If you're new to the show ever, you can call again. Okay, you can't call again if you've never called. Yes. All right, call now, 720-240-9766.
You can call in if you were born and possess the ability to speak and dial number 720-240-9766.
Call us now.
This is David Lewis Paget in Australia with Obsession. I'd seen the widow walk back and forth a length of the village street, her veil so black and her dress so long, you'd see neither face nor feet. She never would speak to anyone, would simply seem to glide within the folds of that morning dress like a slowly ebbing tide. At first she'd walk at the early dawn, but then she'd be gone by noon. The light of day would spirit away her wandering sense of gloom. She'd not be seen till the sun went down when you'd hear the swish of lace catching along the seawall stone and whipping around her face. She never would miss the evening tide that would bring the fleet back in, check every boat that was still afloat if its catch was full or thin, Her only lover gone out one day with his sails set high to Rome. His boat had floated out in the bay, but he had not come home. It took a week for the widow's weeds to start to march on the shore, and no one dared to look in her face, so deep was the grief she wore. I never knew pain like this exists, she'd cry when she was alone, but over the next few painful weeks, she knew that he'd not be home. Then she slowly tore off the widow's veil. She gave up the mourning dress. I watched her enter the world again, as beautiful, no less. It took me months, but I won her round. I'd kept my scheme afloat by hiding away the tools I'd used to sink her husband's boat.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Doom, we are all supervillains here. We are on the eve of destruction,
yeah!
Poetically speaking. All right, you're going to have to capture that one, too.
I've got it.
Nice.
It's just not as epic as...
Ta-ya! Okay. Yeah, see? Ta-ya! Wow.
That'll be awesome.
That right. will be awesome.
That'll be awesome.
Yeah.
All right, so we do have... Looks like six poets lined up for our return engagement. We do have one calling from a long distance away. Let's go right to her. She's called us last week. Please welcome Nisreen from Egypt.
Sorry, my bad.
Hey.
What are you doing, man?
What are you doing?
That was my eardrums you burst. Nisreen, yeah. Are you there?
Sorry.
Yes, I am.
Hey, welcome to our show.
Hi.
So you liked what you heard last week and you want to share again? Is that what I understand?
I have something new that I wrote this past month, and yeah, I would like to share it.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Okay. So
whenever you're ready.
It's called Dress. I'll just go ahead. Lay down in tresses, lending feet. China clicks the wood, looking in oak. Foreign to speak, days of happy fear. Lift waves through clay, resonating chamber. Rouge reflective surface, one walk on green, accent silhouette.
Very well done.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I love your work. Please don't stop calling our show. I'd love to hear from you next week as well.
Thank you very much.
Alrighty. That was Nisreen on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. Nice. Yeah. Egypt?
Yeah.
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 Yeah, see?
Oh, jeez. Oh, my. It's like working with 12-year-olds.
Well, you're somewhere supposed to there. Shoot up. We both we'll fired up.
You know... You're my friends. You're not supposed to be telling me to shoot up or drink or anything like that.
No, that's
anybody
right.
would do that's insane.
That's fair.
He's a delicate fellow.
He's a delicate fellow.
Sorry.
Okay. All right. Now
singing Bush.
Okay.
I'm not even going to go to my 12-year-old self on that. Let's just go to another caller. Please welcome from New Hampshire. She is Jay Lorian.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, we're having a night, let me tell you. I think we're all getting the sillies out now for our big show tomorrow.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, yeah. We'll be wearing them. They'll probably be greased up with some tan. That's what we call the sillies.
Okay.
Oh, wait. This is a return engagement, not
yes,
after dark. I'm
yes,
sorry.
Yes, it is.
I'm sorry. I was talking about turkeys. We like to baste them. It'd probably be more in butter, you know.
What do you have for us tonight, Jalorian?
I'm just going to shut up and sit back.
Are you still with us? Have we lost you?
I'm here. I'm just okay. Yes, I am here. This piece is short, so I don't have to touch any buttons or I won't make my computer mad. Waiting in the darkness, it's my ode to insomnia. When the witching hour beckons and the world is fast asleep, as I stare into the darkness and I slaughter all the sheep, while the mantle clock keeps ticking its monotonous refrain and the sound keeps getting louder till it's etched into my brain, so I pull the covers over my imaginative head. And I lie still and hold my breath and hide there in my bed, but it knows I'm there and finds me hitching back my final breath. And it takes that as a payment and delivers me to death. Alas, the morning light. I'll die again tonight.
I love your work. I really do.
Thank you.
You don't need to deprive us near as long next time. We do appreciate everything you contribute to our show.
Thank you. I will try to be here more often.
Awesome. Thank you, Jalorian.
Have a good week.
You too.
And good luck tomorrow.
Hey, thank you.
Bye.
That was Jalorian on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution of Poetry Radio.
You know,
yeah, we need luck for tomorrow, don't we?
It occurred to me, I think there are a bunch of people who might listen, you know, to hear the poets and the music and all that. But I also think there's going to be a good amount of people who listen just to see how badly we screw it up.
I was going to say, yeah. there's going to be that contingent there, and be like, is this the event
you mean that's
going to
drive
J. Todd over
now.
The edge?
Well, that is kind of our audience now. But I make this promise.
Oh, that's right. They do call it.
I like awesome. To be straightforward about this. I'm going to make this promise. I'm going to make this direct, heartfelt promise to all of our listeners. I cannot promise that we're not going to screw this up. But I do promise that if we do screw it up, it will be wildly entertaining.
Yes.
And absolutely hilarious. Like Moby Dick crashing against the, you know, the boat. Kind of ridiculous.
Like me performing Shel Silverstein with Torcano behind me. Ridiculous.
Yes, Torcano. That was a great band.
Yes, it was. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's what happens when a volcano meets a tornado. It's yes. a torcano.
It's a torcano. A shark torcano.
Just really quickly, the best part of that movie Sharknado is that all the sharks are flying around, right, and being blown around in a circle.
Yep.
You shoot one of them, and they fall out of the sky.
Wasn't that amazing?
I know. Yeah, I love that. As if somehow them being alive.
Well, they were swimming in the tornado.
Oh.
And when you can't swim, obviously, if you can't fly, you won't ever get sucked up into a tornado because you can't fly.
What?
Think about it.
That works.
So if you just stand still, it'll just...
Really? But if
act dead.
What if I start swimming?
Only if it's a water funnel.
If I can... Dude, if I... Here's my thing. I've always had a dream of flying into downtown Cincinnati on top of a great white shark. If I have a chance, I'm
going to
go for the dream.
Go for it.
Look out, Cincinnati. Here we come. But before we do that, we have to hit the land of 15,000 and some odd lakes. Please welcome Mariah.
Hello.
Hello. Hey, we were wondering where you were at. You know, we did a whole calling session and didn't fill it up. So.
Oh, yeah. Don't guilt. Don't do guilt. Or, what are you, Catholic?
What
is this?
It's all good.
And
I got a cough.
Oh, see, no, I had that last week. I apologize. You know what? Take your time.
What a jerk, J-Dad.
I know. Easy your poetry.
It's all your fault, man.
She worked hard today.
Yeah.
Like we all do.
I'm going to read, and then I don't know what I'm doing next, but I'm going to bed.
Can I suggest NyQuil coma?
We don't have any NyQuil. The wall person.
Here's what you do instead of NyQuil. You take a bunch of Sudafed, and then a couple of shots of absinthe, and it'll be just like NyQuil.
Don't follow
James Hodge's advice.
I'm totally kidding.
Have any
good and you know what? If you do that, any court in the law will not prosecute you because they'll be like, you took medical advice from a poet?
Yeah, here's the thing, Mariah. If you do that, you will be taking medical advice from a man whose radio professor in college referred to him as a PR nightmare waiting to happen. So I just want you to realize this is what you're getting
true
into.
True story. I'm not making it up. He literally told me that.
Well, I just took some cough medicine, like, 5 minutes ago, so we'll wait and see what happens.
Oh, tomorrow. This is going to be like hearing poetry from Bill Murray at the beginning of Stripes. Awesome!
I have to find my poem.
Oh, okay.
Right. I was like, dead silence. I don't think she's seen Stripes, J. Todd.
She is a little young for it, but our resident movie buff really was taken by that reference.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, if JT laughed, nothing else matters.
I'm going to have to go back and listen in the archives when this comes up.
Okay.
Because I missed about half of what you guys said.
You know
That's
what?
Okay, so did we.
Jinx!
Alright.
The suspense is killing me, Mariah. I hope it lasts.
No, I have to remind myself where the F word is so I can, like, prepare to switch that word.
She's readying to censor herself. Good.
Alright, and I just wrote this. I finished writing it, like, right before I had to leave for work this afternoon. This is about 5 hours old.
Alright.
It is called Asking For It, and it was inspired from another poem that I read on All Poetry. I was going to do both of them tonight, but no!
Hey, Mariah, I just got to interject this. As much as you're trying to make us feel guilty for this whole first segment, there was one call segment left open, and one person didn't call in. So I think it might not be worth blaming us for it. Moving on.
All right.
Wow.
You got to remember, I'm pretty much always writing at the beginning of the show, so I don't call in until the second
thing. Do you always put your homework off till the last moment? I'm telling you, you have an entire week before our next show. You could write something on Sunday if you wanted to.
Mariah, we're just kidding. We're happy
she wrote
here.
This before the show, so it's okay.
We're kidding.
We're playing.
I'm almost
we're
always playing. Eating corn. That's what happens with me. There's all kinds of problems involved with this.
Corn is my enemy right now. Let's just go ahead and go on to Mariah's poem.
Hey, check this out.
Anyway. They tell us we are strong, then portray us as meek, ill-minded women whose worth is measured by the inches that we wear. The wear and tear upon our skin hides the fire within until our passion is burned up by someone who took it upon themselves to light a match inside our hearts. The flames burn our feet with each step we take towards freedom. Leave ashy footprints in our wake, marking the path starting at the point where we went wrong. Who the hell has the right to tell us, though? If only we had taken a different route, if only you had paid more attention, been more vocal, been more stubborn, been more, if only I'd been more aware, if only I hadn't been drinking, if only. Why is it always our fault when we make a wrong decision and end up with our lives tied to a past mistake that wasn't just ours to make? Our voices are hoarse from screaming, leaning on God and pleading with God, if only he would help, if someone would help, if someone would recognize our silent cries and subtle screams. Because we are more than a statistic. We are more than the clothing we wear and the decisions we make. We are more than a bad judgment call. All in when the going gets tough, but when we look around, we've only got each other to hold us up. We're down on our knees, practicing how to pray and how to play at the same freaking time, because the rules in this game seem to be anything goes. And the winner is judged by how many question marks they have been able to insert into someone else's work. End poem.
You know, you function pretty well as a poet with all that cough medicine in your system.
Good job, Mariah. We enjoyed it very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mariah, thank you very much. We'll talk to you next week. I hope you listen to our live broadcast tomorrow.
And get to feeling better.
Oh, that's negotiable.
What time is the live broadcast tomorrow?
Well, I'll tell you what, Mariah. If you're still feeling sick, the best thing you can do is just, you know, because eventually you'll run out of TV shows.
It's just allergies.
Oh, it's just allergies. Okay. Well, if
she's allergic to radio shows. Yeah.
Well, you know, go figure. Sometimes I think I am, too.
Tomorrow.
Yeah. No, what I would just come on, it's the same place to listen. We start around 4 p.m. Mountain Time, and then we're going to run until like probably after 10 p.m. So you can tune in and out if you need to, or just stay and listen to the whole thing. Play it in the background.
Yeah, you guys are starting at the exact time I have to be at work. So.
Are you serious?
So what you're going to want to
do? What's your boss's name and what's his number? Let's call him right now.
You're going to want to check out the show on archive, actually. We're going to be bootlegging our own show.
Well, it's not bootlegging if you put on the show.
He doesn't know that.
It's bootstrapping if you put on the show, but not bootlegging. There's a difference. Hey, by the way, is tomorrow National Pirate Day?
Yes, it is, me hearties.
Does it talk like a pirate day or just National Pirate Day?
No, it's talk like a pirate day.
So I do want to announce that all of our updates during the show tomorrow will be done in pirate fashion. Arr.
Mariah, thank you for calling. Get to feeling better. Yeah. We'll talk to you next week.
Alrighty.
Thank you, Mariah. That was Mariah and Warm Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio.
So I got this message from JT the other day.
Yeah, there we
go. He's like, hey, Saturday is National Pirate Day. And my literal response was out loud. I was like, woohoo!
Oh, nice.
This is going to happen. Yeah, I'm carrying my sword everywhere.
Why didn't we pay attention to that when we were planning the event?
I don't know.
It's always September 19th. Arr.
And you know what? I'm just going to read three lines out of the chat room right now. I love pirates. They are so cool. Johnny Depp.
Nice.
That's a wonderful poem.
Ooh.
That sounded almost like a haiku.
Yeah, huh? Mm. It's close.
It's close.
Close.
Nah, okay. It's close.
Haiku Masters is not approved of that haiku.
Now, I'm going
to
try.
I might be able to work on that.
I think, you know, I don't know. I was kind of thinking maybe we should do something, a tribute to Somali pirates or something.
No. We could. It would be
the public relations nightmare waiting to happen.
It could be
what?
Like, hey, look, it's a SEAL Team 6 over there.
Yeah, well, true, yeah.
Right.
But actually, they're right behind us or something.
Yes. Okay.
Let's move on.
We do have another poet that could have saved our first segment, but that's all right. She got through this time. Please welcome Lorraine.
Hello, guys.
Hello.
I'm just going to say that I have dreams about Friday night, and I'll leave it at that. Now.
I do have dreams, too, but they're called nightmares.
Did you have the one about the dwarf, the goat, and the jar of peanut butter? Yeah, everybody has that dream.
No, I'm not going to say anymore, but that's where it ends. Now you can guess the rest. I will give you the choice of giggle or ponder. What do you want to do?
What was the question
giggle
again?
Giggle or ponder?
Giggle or ponder. What do you want to do? And I'll read you either.
Funny thing is, after the show each week, I give my wife the same choice, but we'll go with giggle.
Oh, yeah, let's go with giggle.
Okay, giggle. Now, this is something very contemporary because I think he happens to be in the news. Okay. It's my hair despair. Guess who? The Rogaine lament. Oh, where has my lovely hair gone? I had it a year ago, lustrous and strong. Did it fall through my head and come out my nose? And is it now growing between my big toes? I checked both my ears. It didn't grow there. This baldness is causing me so much despair. I spotted a lady wearing a mink. It resembled my color, but sweat might make it stink. I checked out some wig shops displaying their locks, but no one looked like mine, and they came in a box. I stalked Donald Trump to find out what he uses. It seems he was bald before he played with fuses. In sheer desperation, I kidnapped a lamb. I lovingly sheared it, ashamed of my plan. I glued it together. It made quite a sight. Once placed on my head, I felt sheared delight. So walked to an IHOP that knew me for years. The sight of me brought the employees to tears. Not ones of sadness, but those of plain glee. For in spite of my wool wig, they recognized me. I was led to a booth. Asked for 3 pancakes, please. which were promptly delivered with a side of goat cheese. I corrected them, confessed I was actually woolly, when a guy in the next booth called me a bully. So I stood up to leave with my head held up high. I paid my tab, thanked them, and headed outside. But as I passed the window where this choker was seated, I paused, feigned a smirk, and then loudly bleated. End.
Nice.
It hits
my
home.
Contribution.
That's real
poet.
Close to
home.
To home.
You, guys. This show is so fantastic, and I have to say that Mariah's fantastic. She's awesome. Barbara, Philip. I could name a host of them, but I am so honored to be a part of this, and I love you guys. I really do.
Thank you, Lorraine. We love you all too, and that's that's why we call this our labor of love for you guys.
My husband doesn't know you, but he loves you anyhow.
Well, you know, we love him too. It's not like we swing one way or the other.
Tell him that J. Todd's labor of love is heading his way.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. But I will call you next week.
Yep.
Excellent. Looking forward to it already.
Well, already I am too. And have a wonderful week. And God bless. And I'll talk to you next week.
God bless.
Sounds good. Thanks, Lorraine. Okay. Please, will you do that for a while every time you walk in a room?
They'll be like, wow, you're back in Montana, are you?
I'm back. Back from the bathroom.
It was a while there I thought my kids would say daddy.
There's still a good chance knowing your history. There might be a bunch of goats coming of age.
Montana, the land where men are men, women are too, and the sheep are very nervous.
Okay, all right. All right.
I have a story about that, but we can't share that one on the air.
Let's not talk about this anymore.
All right. Woo. Let's get another poet on. This time from Connecticut, please welcome Barbara. Barbara, are you with us?
Barbara. Barbara. You know, I think
she's ordering McDonald's at this point.
I think that's what I'm hearing right now. Either that...
I'd like a number 14 or with extra cheese.
Yeah, either that or she's... I don't know. Do you think she's yelling at her neighbor?
Maybe.
It kind of sounds like she's telling her neighbor to be quiet.
Let's see.
Barbara says she's not on.
Oh. Well?
Barbara, we can hear background. I'm not exactly sure what's going on.
Let's try this. I am.
Are you serious?
What?
Did you see me hit the button right?
I'm pretty sure I did.
Just spent a minute and a half of
no,
airtime.
Just a minute. Just a minute. It was just me, and I'm sorry, Barbara.
That
we're
was
calling
not
out
Barbara
your name.
Yelling at her neighbor.
It's so me.
J-T.
It's my fault. Okay.
You're killing me, Smalls.
I can walk out. It's okay.
No, you know what?
It's your house.
Doing bad things.
No, you know what? It's not. It's your fault. I understand that. You can just give up your pay for this week. How about that? Okay.
Okay.
All right. Fair enough.
All right.
Cool.
Give
forgiven.
Pay from the show.
You're like, wait a second.
I was really worried. I couldn't get on.
I'm so sorry.
I was worried too.
So am I in another dimension?
I'm sorry, Barbara. That hasn't happened since that time we did peyote and did the show.
Wait. Hold on.
We were like, we have 600 colors, but somehow we're in the spirit world and they're in the normal world. We can't get them to cross over.
I was going to say, you guys only do peyote for that one show? Because I've been doing it every show.
That's right. You're actually a British woman.
What?
It's awesome.
Okay, anyway. You don't want me loopy either, you know, because I can get kind of crazy.
Yeah.
I get the impression, anyway, Barbara, that can happen.
I took another poem out of my 2011 poems, and this one is written about actually thinking about being 10 years old. It was when I was 10 years old, and this happened to me, and I don't know if you've ever had a friend like this, but this was such a traumatic experience. It stayed with me, and stayed with me a long, long time.
Okay.
Okay,
this is called Rana. I watched in disbelief, as if somehow the fabric of my 10-year-old world had torn, and this was a parallel universe where people threw money away. She sat on the curb, dropping coins into the grated sewer, one by one, dimes, quarters, pennies, all falling into the garbage-strewn, foul-smelling sewers beneath the street. She was my best friend, but I knew at that moment we would drift apart, even if she hadn't moved before the end of that year. We were on Schenectady Avenue with its pickle smells, and suddenly she stopped and looked me in the eye with her expression begging me to stop her, reminding me she had offered all of this to me before the debacle, during which I watched the money leaving her hand like burning embers. I only learned of its origin later when we sat drinking chocolate milkshakes from the remaining cash, pilfered from her mother's pocketbook. To my Dudley Do-Right brain, this was so wrong, I could barely gulp down the delicious thick shake. Guilt had a seat with us that day. End poem.
Very well done. Again.
Again.
Yes.
From the annals of my archive.
The archives, yes.
My archival poems. I never forgot that girl, never. Never. I never forgot that experience, ever.
Yeah. You know,
I mean, here I was. My parents had a material store, and every penny was important to them. Every penny.
Yeah.
And here I was watching my best friend throw money away.
Yikes.
I know, she kept throwing it away. I didn't know what to do. She kept offering to me. I didn't know what to do. I was 10 years old. I had no idea.
Wow.
Yeah, you wouldn't know what to do. Yeah. Yeah, it would be really hard to.
I didn't want to take her money. I didn't know what to do with it. I didn't know where it came from or what it was or anything.
I totally reject that. And then I found out
she had stolen it from her mother. It was just so... Anyway, you guys are on fire tonight, so I'll try and... I'll try and tune in tomorrow so I can hear you, but you are just on fire, so...
Thank you. We're kind of getting ready for the show.
POSIC Fest.
POESIC. So, like poetry and music. POESIC.
Posick, I get it.
Yeah. Kind of like posers hanging out at Posick.
No.
I get you.
That name was actually crafted by my wife. I thought she was rather witty when she came up with it.
Yeah.
Very clever. Very, very clever.
Reminds me of Noah's Arcade. It's a really good one.
Yeah.
No, really, really good. And like I said, having come from Imaginarium this weekend and being involved in that kind of thing where people were talking about books and films and also artists were together, it should be a very, wonderful experience.
That's kind of like what our inner circle, the Poetic Mafia, is about. It's about the creativity and fostering creativity for one another, feeding off each other, and becoming like this big Tesla coil of creativity.
Exactly. Heard a great band there and met some people and found some crazy people. It's always nice to find crazy people, I think.
As long as they're the same type of crazy as you, I'm totally prescribed that.
Absolutely. I think you must have seen my page, but if you want to see all the craziness that went on, you should see my page. There's one particular video that you will love.
Awesome.
It's down a little There's a girl with a mohawk. You'll see it.
All right. I will check it out as soon as I got some free time. Probably Sunday afternoon-ish. Maybe yeah, after the football game.
Maybe around 4 after he makes a sandwich. Traditionally, that happens around 4:18. Well,
4:18 when I make my sandwich. But the football game's not over until 5:30.
A lot to get to it, but I'm sure because of all the people that tag me. But it's there. You'll
okay.
See it.
Barbara, right. Thank you so much.
Jessica McHugh, so look for that name.
Awesome.
Okay, bye, guys.
Thank you, Barbara. That was Barbara on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution of Poetry Radio. All right. Well, I think we got one more caller in this segment. And
a submission.
Do you have a submission also?
I do.
Okay, then I just won't read tonight. It's fine.
Well, you can read. You want to read before or after the submission, Mr. Martyr? Okay. Or I do have something you can climb up on afterwards.
Well, hang on. Hang on.
Whoa!
So, okay, stop. After the call, you, J. Todd, will read. And then you, Michael, will read the submission.
How come I have to go first?
Do I have to sit? Do I have to sit time out this whole time?
I am the technical producer, and I am going to direct this as well if I have to. So
producer, director. Okay.
That's how it's going to go.
I'm just got to say it. It was already figured out, you know, but we just reverse it in code.
Okay.
Oh, hey. All right. Please welcome for a second time this evening, Philip from Kentucky.
Howdy, JT.
J-Todd, JT. JT's our producer, but that's all right. It gets a little confusing
JT's
right here.
JT's here, and I'd have nodded off there for a second. I'm getting to be an old man, you know?
It's all right, Philip. I've done the same thing.
Real quick question. Are we on next Friday, or are you guys taking a weekend off?
Not until the 8th of October are we taking a week off.
Yeah, so we're going to be
it's
on.
It's actually going to be the 9th.
Well, the 9th of October,
we're out.
JT's got some things going on the 8th. I've got some things going on the 8th, and we're going to need the day after to recover, so we're cool.
Yeah, right. No, I wanted to make sure. I mean, everything is just like now for me. So, you know, it's like Friday, Sunday. I don't know what those things really mean. You know, I kind of noticed the seasons change, and, you know, just getting an idea. So I appreciate that. And, Michael, I just wanted to also ask randomly, since I find so few people that actually listen to ambient music, do you also listen to Stars at the Lid by any chance?
Yeah, I've actually, I have.
And also, I really like Dead Texan, I don't know if you've ever listened to this.
Dead Texans is good. And also, look up Dave Preston.
Dave Preston?
Dave Preston, and he has three albums, B, Soundtrack for Motion, and called In These Storms. There's three of them, and those are really good.
In the Storms is a new one, right?
Yeah, In the Storms is a new one.
And I've got to say... I personally do some of my writing to B and Soundtrack for Motion.
Okay, nice. Yeah. I usually listen to a lot of music, either anything from classical to jazz to ambient, you know, like no words, you know.
Awesome.
Exactly.
Yeah, I appreciate it. All right, good deal. Well, I'll get to it. I want to try to end on a positive note, and just, you know, I don't want to go into the whole turbulent relationship with my father, but I recently put a poem on his page, and it's called Gratitude, and I dedicated it to him for Gerald B. Roberts, whose fatherly kindness I honor. And here it goes. Know not a thing about my birth name, inheritance of wind, sun, and moon, the tall yellow grasslands where I slumber, mountains east and west, and the ocean's broad blue and black beneath, and downy cloud vistas wide as luminous horizons where scribe and reader entwine. Heritage of kings and paupers, I've no doubt, even a criminal or two who indubitably learned their trade by necessity. Streets have been impoverished since man has reigned. Adopted, not shunned, I count my simple blessings cloistered behind Spartan walls who share their echoed companionship when I reread the Beatitudes, or an original line failed when compared to the enlightened one whose footsteps are silent as haloed stars witnessed and counted by solemn eyes and child fingers pointed toward the dark Aperon. Enriched in my destitution, humbled by daily observances of our myriad human condition, nights spent in simple devotion to those phrases awakened through my syncane senses. And there it is, fellers.
It's So that was an amazing poem, and I want to say you are lucky to have a good relationship with your father, and I am proud that you are letting him know that.
Yeah, well, thank you so much. It's been a recent coming together, you know, all that father-son, you know, angst, whatever you call it. I don't know what words you want to use there, but it's been good. It's been surprising. He's got a good wife, and she's, you know, helped us mend our ways. So it's been a recent event, and I think you guys have helped, you know. You've given a voice to a lot of people that I know most poets that have, you know, heartache in their life as part of why they probably write poetry. And so I really think you guys have helped a lot, too, and I'm just saying thanks. For that.
Wow. Well, thank you for that, Philip. That means a lot.
You're quite welcome, Michael and JT and J. Todd Underhill. You guys have a good evening, and see you next week.
All right. We'll see you
next week, and hopefully you'll hear us tomorrow.
Yes, exactly. Don't want to forget that. All right.
Awesome. Bye. Thank you. Then. That was Philip from Kentucky on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution of Poetry Radio. So, you know, I'm knocking stuff around while we're doing the show. Spilling my monster across the studio table.
And being the kind of crew we are, I'm sitting there while you're talking. I'm like, okay, well, hey, if I can grab the towel, I'll clean it up. And I realized the towel is underneath your mic stand. There's just no way I'm going to get it. So I just sat here and laughed like a jerk.
Well, you know, that's what we do.
It's not really what we do. We actually really are about helping each other.
We are.
We got each other's back.
So before I knew this always going to happen, I actually tried to marry poetry and radio a couple other times, about 21 years ago. And as I was owning the title poet, I wrote a poem about my experience doing that. So this is, I lived in a little town just outside Bozeman, Montana called Livingston. And this is entitled Livingston. Back in the days, as this poet was finding his voice, microphones and discs being spun in the night, rushing off to fight fire in the middle of the night. Life was a simpler existence back then. Spouting off words and phrases, random thoughts, in a rundown diner built into an old railway station. Words written at 3 a.m. after returning from fire calls, shared with family and friends at a corner table. Nasty coffee and fries with brown gravy, the order of the evening. Ah, to be at Martin's one last time for poetry night. Hell, in this town, it was so small, wherever I went, it was poetry night. Wherever I landed and wrote and spoke, that was poetry night for this minuscule town. 22 bars in a town of 6,000, problems not yet realized for this poet's infirmed mind. Heat and pressure applied to carbon makes a diamond. His day to shine will certainly come. Back before life would claim poetic souls, his words to this day left unseen, taking the night train down to Boone's farm, sitting alone, drinking and writing as he has done before, making his statements which no one will hear, waiting for his chance to shine once again. Living off of food bank rice, canned goods, and fish caught daily underneath the 9th Street Bridge, the Yellowstone River, his friend and provider. Pennies, nickels, and dimes counted out meticulously, extravagant splurges on mochas and cappuccinos, leaf and bean in the Java Hut from time to time. Paydays finally started to come slowly. A night on the town, chicken fried steak and a Coke. The Yellowstone drug stop and brushes with fame. The pickle barrel for soup and a sandwich. Living as they would say back then, high on the hog. Happiness was a full tank of gas, some food in the fridge. At least this poet had his loving wife, someone with which to share his life in a town that closed up shop at 8 p.m. Nearly midnight on a Saturday evening, the same ritualistic routine on a ridge overlooking the interstate. This poet sat in his car with his notebooks, the pages tattered and torn, the covers all weathered and worn, CB mic in his hand. In the passenger seat of his Chevy Citation, a six-pack of Jolt Cola, a half a pack of Doral's, not to worry, he has two more packs in the glove box, 64-ounce jug of coffee on the dash. Knowing he was risking his FCC license, he struck an old Zippo to a new heater. Building his confidence with one last swig of coffee and then slamming a Jolt Cola, he keys the mic and he begins to speak. Breaker, breaker, 2-7, this here's the precocious poet. And this begins another Saturday night poetry session. He read poem after poem into the microphone, Not knowing how many truckers he kept entertained, he would proudly announce poem title as he announced the songs he did on his radio show, reading for nearly 2 hours. In those 2 hours, nearly half a pack of Doral's were burned, half the six-pack of Jolt Cola was quaffed, and the entire 64-ounce coffee was drunk. And nearly every poem in his notebooks had been visited. He had to take momentary breaks to stretch his legs and relieve his body of the potions of courage, but a 2-hour poetry show was done over the CB radio, for only truckers to enjoy and listen. Then, as the poet's energy was waning, he did his usual wrap-up to his show. This has been the Precocious Poet reading. Hope all you truckers kept the shiny side up and the rubber side down, and I hope you remember this channel when you come back around. Broadcasting for Gear Jammers this and every Saturday night, hoping to put a smile on your faces and fill you all with delight. Hopefully you'll find a message in my words and keep it somewhere close inside, but for now I must sign off. J. Todd Underhill. I'm 1010 on the side.
Nice.
True story.
I like that one, man.
Yeah. Well, you know, I didn't over partake in caffeine much back. Well, I did back then, but not nearly the extremes that I put in that poem.
Okay, all right, so, fair enough.
Yeah, that's because I did speed back then. Anyway,
oh, yeah, well, that's probably true. Actually,
that is the truth of the story.
Right. Just for the record, neither myself nor JT have nor ever me. Condoned.
Right.
Or actually partaken in
that's
that.
True.
However, we let J. Todd tell us what it's like.
Just say no to drugs.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, here we go. It's a submission by Harmeet Kaur, looks like. K-A-U-R.
Okay.
The two twins. Life, please move at a slow pace. Let me stop and observe the human race. There are loans yet to be paid. Let me make new memories before the old ones fade. I still have to amputate the pain, eradicate sadness, and let people go insane. I yet have obligations to fill. Let me care for people out of my own free will. There were some who sulked and some who I lost, because you run so hastily through the heat, rain, and frost. I yet have to uplift the ones upset and enhearten the ones mourning. They are hidden in their shells, obscure of things alluring. There yet are unfulfilled wishes and pivotal works to be done. Work with diligence to maintain stance on number one. Diverse drooped desires are yet to be buried. Miracles always await us. Need not be worried. Some enduring relations did break. Inexorably, it gave appalling heartache. And some relations could not be fabricated. Because they were not voracious, they were only fascinated. The wounds of these dead relations are yet to be healed. Can't say much about them. My lips are sealed. Life and destiny are the two twins. They move according to their own will. Can't surmise who loses or who wins. And that was called The Two Twins. That was by Harmeet Kaur.
Very well done.
That was a good one.
Yes. That's going to be making the submissions real. You know how we do occasionally these submission Saturdays?
Yeah.
Not tomorrow, but we post. Try to post one a week.
Oh, for sure.
That one's going to be in there.
Awesome.
Hey, you know what? We're wrapping up a little bit early. Do you guys mind if I do one more?
No, Philip, go ahead and do
Philip
it,
did that poem about his father, and on my way to find that Livingston poem, I actually found one. I'll give a little history on this. My dad and I didn't have the best of relationships. I'll admit it. I reminded him of somebody he did not like because I looked like my grandfather on my mother's side. However, after my mom passed, he would come down and support my poetry open mics in live fashion. He'd come down to the Fidley's Coffee in off the Vine and spend some time. He'd actually read, too, some of his poetry and some Ogden Nash and whatnot. After one of these sessions, he's like, you know, I'm not much for writing anymore, but maybe you should write this sonnet out, and he gave me this idea. So this is entitled Lucky Dog. What a lucky dog, head out the window, the scenery passing by at high speed. Freedom like no human could really know. Each and every one has the hidden need. Tongue wagging as the sights and scents do please. Peacefulness to make a pit bull smile. Bug after bug getting stuck in your teeth. But still, they're enjoying mile after mile. The wind in your hair, the breeze in your face. Each mile brings something new into your view. Coming to know the world by smell and taste. A peaceful, easy feeling fills you through. The only way to know what it is like is to take a ride on a motorized bike. And as we all know, my pops rode a motorcycle everywhere.
That's right. That's right, he did. It was one of his great joys.
Yes. So he's like, wow. Why don't you write a sonnet about, you know, comparing a dog to the dog's head out the window to being on a motorcycle? I'm like, that's a great idea, pops. I think I'll run with that.
Awesome. Good work, man.
And he actually got to hear that one before he passed, actually performed live. So I'm kind of grateful for that.
Yeah.
So, Philip, thank you for inspiring me to read that one. Thank you, everybody, who tuned in tonight. And we are looking forward to tomorrow evening. We're gonna take a little mini early break and get ready for tomorrow.
Ta-ya!
All right.
Whoa. That just gave me a heart attack, man.
So, for Michael Amadei, JT, and myself, we want to thank you for tuning in. Good night, Robert Mordlin, wherever you're at.